Looking for a guiding hand in your Amazon business? Wizards of Ecom Academy is here for you. Our personalized support system includes unlimited email access to myself and my entire team to help you overcome challenges and strategize effectively. Sign up for an exclusive rate at wizardsofecom.com/academy. Your personal e-commerce coach awaits.
Welcome to the Wizards of Ecom, your no-fluff playbook for online success. Each episode is fully packed with actionable tactics you can implement in your business right now. Take your life to a higher level and excel in your online success. It's time to work on you and your business. Let's do this.
Welcome back to the Wizards of Ecom podcast. This is episode 134. My name is Carlos Alvarez, and I'll be your host for the show. On today's episode, we have an amazing guest, the owner and founder of The Right Buzz, McLean Warren. McLean, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Cool stuff. McLean, I've been a fan. I'm going to completely confess something here.
Okay.
That I'm 100% guilty.
Are we ready for this, Carlos?
We're ready. It's my confession.
Okay.
I'm 100% guilty of being a fan of yours. Okay. Across social media for the last few years, your writing style. And it's been cool because our paths have crossed in person recently now that the world is opening back up. Mm-hmm. And most recently, our paths crossed in Boston. So that was really cool. And now we got this podcast scheduled. You've been really patient with me on my calendar. I appreciate that. I've invited you on the show to discuss building your brand's voice, specifically through the written word. What it is, who should be using it, where is it most impactful, let's just say specifically on Amazon for now. Goal of the episode, I'm hoping, is that we can get listeners to know whether developing a brand voice is right for them, and some crystal clear steps on sort of like what to do next to make that, you know, kind of bring that to life, whether it's, I don't know, learning it themselves or who to hire.
Right.
You think that's realistic on the show?
I think I can do this.
All right. No pressure.
No pressure.
since many people seem to think that building a brand voice is, I don't know, creating a logo or something like that. In the words of McLean, what is a brand voice? And when did you realize that a brand's voice could be so powerful?
It's a good question. So I would say having written for a long time now and having the clients I do, what's interesting, and I will preface this all by saying, yes, I do write content for webs, Amazon listings, but primarily I do it for other service providers. And what I found is that most people, like they'll have, like you said, their logo, their tagline, they know what they're selling, but when I ask them what their brand voice is, I would say like 95% of the time, they have no idea what that is or what that means. So my job is to establish that brand voice. And the reason brand voicing is so important is because I always say that people will go to buy something based on the need for it, but they will cement their purchase and have brand loyalty based on their emotions. And because of that, you really need to have a brand voice because you're essentially establishing that like your brand is a person that people can relate to, that people want to be connected with. So I would say that's why it's really important to build that brand voice.
When you said webs, are you talking about writing on the web or are you talking about webs as in Trent Dersmid's SOP software, like,
sorry, I meant web content.
Okay. Web content. Right. Yeah. I was like, I know Trent, I know webs and he has a pretty amazing blog. And I didn't know that you wrote that. When you say writing a long time, what is that? Like how many years are we talking about?
Well, even when I was little, I just always really, been drawn to the written word. I always read a lot of books. And so that love and passion for that kind of drove me into the Amazon space. I essentially did a lot of freelance writing for other people throughout my 20s and stuff, but it wasn't until I was hired on as an Amazon listing optimizer that I started getting into more of the sales aspect of it. Before it was just kind of like news and poems and stuff like that. But now my content is essentially sales.
So sales pays the bills. Is that also, say, the type of copy that you're, written word that you're the most passionate about?
So in college, I graduated with a minor in psychology. And so I find that psychology is really, really important when it comes to sales, because you have to understand the people that you're selling to and what makes them convert and what drives them, again, to that brand loyalty where they want to keep supporting your brand and your company. I don't know if that answers your question, but
yeah, definitely. Okay. What about, like, what can you give an example? It doesn't have to be a client of yours, but can you give an example of where a brand having a brand voice, and we'll use Amazon as an example, mm-hmm. is helping them get more conversions on Amazon?
Yeah. So off the top of my head, I can't necessarily think of an Amazon client specifically, but I like to give the example of Nike, right? Like, everyone sees that little check mark symbol. And what that means is, like, to a lot of people, when you look at their advertisements, it's always just do it. But what they're essentially saying is, just do it, not just to buy the product, but just do it to, like, have this amazing life where you create memories, where you think to yourself, like, oh, I want to, like, do adventurous stuff. I want to be active. And that is kind of segues into you're selling the benefit of the product, not just the features of the product. So again, you know, obviously you can talk, if you're Nike, you can talk about, oh, my shoe, or these shoes are super comfortable. They last a long time. They have a cool logo. They are great colors, whatever you want to. Those are the features. But you're not selling people necessarily on the features. You're selling them on a way of life. And that's what brand building really is selling people on, like, how, because people essentially buy products to make their life easier or better. That's it. That's the only reason people buy products. So you need to explain through your brand voice, like, how you're going to do that. How is your product going to make people's lives easier or better or both?
But putting you on the hot seat a little bit, like, okay, what, let's say that I have a bonsai accessory brand, mm-hmm. and I'm clueless as to building a brand voice or anything like that. And I kind of throw myself at your mercy, show you my brand. And I'm like, where would you begin? Like, what does that process look like? All I have is a logo, I have packaging, and I have some existing sales.
Well, that's why it's super important to establish for your audiences. And I really, really, when I deal with clients, I really try to get a feel for not just who their audience is in terms of their demographic, their age, like, all that stuff is pretty superficial, right? It's important. I'm not saying that that stuff isn't important, but you need to establish, like, more about what their hobbies are, why they're buying the stuff, like, what kind of stuff they do on a regular basis. Are they, like, you know, are they moms that want to decorate the house, and why do they want to do that? What does bonsai represent to your clients? Does it make their lives, do they feel like it brings warmness to their house? Do they think it, you know, really decorates their house? Like, you really need to get, again, this kind of goes back to the psychology of people and why people buy stuff, essentially. So I'll give a really good example, and I'm going to be 100% stereotypical here. Like, I'm just saying that off of the cusp, because it's important to note that being stereotypical does tend to be important for brand building and establishing your audience. So, for example, I have a client that sold, they were like, how would I establish what they are? They're essentially like to safety stuff for your ears and your eyes if you're doing like construction and stuff. Like, that was the original intent behind it. But what he found is that most of his audience were actually buying it for gun ranges and shooting and stuff, right? So then we get into, okay, so who is your clientele, right? And again, I'm not saying that, you know.
I think I know where you're going with this. I'm going to let you go. I'm going to give you rope here. I'm just going to stay quiet and do your thing. Yeah,
give me some rope. But essentially, like, okay, let's just say, and I'm not saying that people that are more liberal don't own guns or people that are conservative do, but the majority of studies show that people that are really into guns tend to be more conservative. So then you get into, okay, what's the conservative beliefs? What makes them tick? What makes them passionate? What is the driving factor behind their beliefs? And that's important to establish. It's really, really important to establish, like, okay, we can say, let's just off the top of my head say that conservatives tend to be, and I have to really emphasize the tend to be, because again, we're being stereotypical, but they tend to be older, white men. And that's important to establish because then you have to create content that resonates with those people, right? So I think stuff like that is really important to establish when building your brand.
That's amazing. I thought that was going to go worse. That was actually, that was very PG. That was very amazing. I love it. What?
The problem is you've been on my Facebook, so you know the type of stuff I write.
I have. I absolutely have. And what, one of the things I'm like, at one of these events, I'm gonna get like one-on-one with McLean. I'm going to be able to bring up one of these posts and I'm going to see, is she going to like bite my head off on this or is it going to be a civil conversation? It was super civil. It was very civil. So with what you gave it, so it sounded like this person had safety in the workplace, specifically construction products like eye goggles or like stuff to save your eardrums. Mm-hmm. And they found out is that they were actually doubled as very good things to use at the shooting range, mm-hmm. assuming they would deflect the bullet or the noise of a shot going off. Right. And so this person got this information probably from Amazon product reviews or maybe frequently asked questions on the product detail page. What would you do? Like, do you have a process for, say, I want to build this brand or somebody listening to this wants to build this brand voice early and they don't have those frequently asked questions. They don't have the reviews and maybe they listen to the latest webinar that just said, use X tool, look for this inefficiency, buy this product. They really didn't do research. Mm-hmm. Products on the way, they realize branding is important. Do you have a process for this to discover who that buying persona is?
Yeah. And I'm going to back up for a second and say that, you know, most practicing writers or people that are selling products, they will essentially establish what their avatar is. Like avatar is like a big, catchphrase in the industry. And avatar just means that you're essentially you're personifying your brand. You're saying, okay, this is the person that I assume is going to be purchasing the majority of my products based on, again, their age, their sex, stuff like that. But often you'll find that it's not the way you expected it to go, right? Like, it's like, so this guy really, and ironically, he's actually super liberal. And so it was funny to him because he was like, this is not the audience I anticipated going after, but that's what is happening. That's what works. So it's definitely important to establish what your avatar would be, but just know that it won't always end up being how you thought it was, you know, and you have to have that ability to transition into who your audience essentially is based on, or I mean, as opposed to like what you thought it was going to be.
Like, I'm curious, you don't have to keep using this person as an example in case they're listening to this, like, what was this person passionate about this product that they first started? And it was like construction safety, or this was more of a, I'm passionate about anything as long as it's cash flowing. And if you're saying that this is a better way to go, let's do this.
It's an interesting question because I can't speak for him. I didn't necessarily get the impression he was passionate about it. But I would say that
McLean lost for words. This is going to be the snippet that goes on Instagram.
Don't hire me
to promote this.
I would essentially say that he wasn't necessarily passionate about it. And we did have that discussion because he, you know, in the first conversation, he actually said to me, he's like, this is not the audience I was going for. This isn't like, doesn't align with my beliefs necessarily. I don't even think he owned a gun, to be honest with you. And then the question became, okay, do we change essentially your branding and try to match the branding with what you're trying to go for? Or do we accept what is successful and accept what is working and go with that? And essentially we decided to stick with what was working. And then we established the brand more toward his actual audience as opposed to what he thought his audience was going to be.
That's wild. Yeah. So he basically did. He went with the information you got. He saw, he made packaging changes. I guess you went for a totally different keyword set on the detail page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the results?
He's doing great. We didn't actually change his, originally I was supposed to change his listing. And after doing research and talking about what's working, we ended up changing his website so that it aligned more toward the voice of his actual audience, again, as opposed to what he thought his audience was going to be. And that's like, you know, and again, that really, it's really important to establish if you're going to run a business based on your philosophy, based on what you want it to be, as opposed to what works. Sometimes those don't align. And I think either way is fine. You know, I think it's totally fine to say, oh, I wasn't expecting this to happen. I wasn't expecting these people to really enjoy my product, but it's what pays the bills. It's what works. And so I'm going to brand more toward them, or just to say, okay, this doesn't align with my beliefs, my philosophy, et cetera. So we're going to have to change that brand voice and go more toward the audience I intended it to, meaning that you're at a risk of losing your original clients. So it's kind of, it's a business decision you have to make essentially.
Well, another hot seat question then. I mean, you're the expert on building your brand voice, the right buzz. Are there specific categories that you won't write for because they don't say align with something you believe in? Or you feel comfortable pivoting into any niche? You could go from guns to fashion to...
I'm comfortable. That's, and I wasn't anticipating talking about this, but I'm, at the end of the day, my job isn't to do something that I believe in. It's to help people sell their products. That's what I do. That is how I pay bills. So it's not up to me to establish what people can or can't sell or why they're doing it. That's not of interest to me. But I will say this, and this is kind of getting more into actual writing and politics, essentially. When I was freelance writing for one company, this was before I got into the Amazon space, they literally would send me stuff about a topic, a political topic. And they would be like, oh, like make sure that you turn this into something bad and make sure that you change the wording and that you use this type of voice so that it caters to this political party. And that I was against because I'm really against spreading news that isn't news when it's just your political opinion. So,
I am glad you shared that because for me, that really like hammers home that this is something powerful. It's so powerful enough that political parties know that it can be weaponized and right. used to influence the way people think. Right. And at a much less evil, in a non-evil way, you can do this with your website, your Amazon product detail page, and use it to convince people to make a more informed buying decision or relate to something or see themselves using or holding or walking with this thing.
Yep,
100%. So, that's awesome. I'm glad you shared that.
Yeah. I mean, really what it comes down to is, and it really does become a psychological thing, no matter if you're selling your political beliefs or a toy, you know, it doesn't really matter. The idea is that you need to resonate with the people's emotions. You know, it's not really just enough. If you're selling a toy, for example, yeah, you're going to talk, like, say it's like some kind of like blocks. Let's just say they're like building blocks. It's not enough just to say, okay, these blocks don't chip. They are long lasting. The color scheme is great. That's not enough. You want to sell them on how, again, it betters their life, how they can see themselves spending quality time with their kids, how instead of getting on technology, you know, you can help them build like eye and hand coordination, stuff like that. So again, the focus is tap into their emotions and sell them on a better way of life.
I love it. I feel like we've completely established that this is something critically important in everyone's business. And I don't know if you agree with me on this. No business gets a buy. If you have a brand, you don't get a pass on this. Like it's something you should be doing. Why? It also seems that you have two ways to go about doing this. You either got really good writing poetry and writing books and stuff when you were younger and you've continued building on that, or you hired someone. So what would you say to somebody if they're listening to this and they say, like, I get it. I'm drinking the McLane Kool-Aid. This is something I need to do, right? Like, I need to do this.
There's a vodka in it.
Absolutely. So what happens then? Do you think someone should go out and begin learning how to do this and building out an avatar? Or do you think they should look to hire someone to do this out the gate? Like, what would your, obviously you could be biased, but like, yeah, what do you think?
This isn't like a ploy to sell my business. I think it depends on what you're good at and how passionate you are. I mean, you definitely have sellers that are just looking to sell a product and they might be very good with the logistics of it. They might be good with like supply chain, manufacturing, you know, all that stuff, but they're not great at having that creative outlet or ability to really establish what kind of voice they want to create. And then you have people that are super, like, I would say like right side brained, however you want to say it, where they're really into like the packaging and they're into the avatar and all that stuff where they don't want to deal with logistics. So I think it really just depends on what you know you're good at and where essentially you have to know what your strengths are and what your weaknesses are, because that is what will build your brand to success, is establishing and knowing what you should outsource and what you shouldn't. So, I mean, I don't really know how to answer that other than you as a brand owner have to figure out, am I good at this? Do I really understand my audience? Do I understand how to have that, now I'm at a loss of words again. how to establish that same voice across all my social media channels, across my website, across Amazon, because that's another thing that you have to do, is make sure that what you're selling on Amazon, whatever voice that is, that has to be established throughout all of your marketing tools or all of your marketing in general.
I think you hit the nail on the head. I would agree with it. It's a similar response to somebody that's beginning to sell on Amazon or whatever, wherever they're at in their journey, and you can't ignore PPC. And you have the choice to hire someone for PPC, or you have the choice to learn it. And it ultimately depends on exactly what you said. Like, it depends what you're good at, depends what you want your life in the business to look like with this. Is it the most important thing you could be working on in the business at that moment? So for somebody, also, you've mentioned psychology, and that's amazing, but you're wearing a high level hat for psychology. You're wearing a marketing hat. You also just have a ton of experience on the platform. Mm-hmm. So for somebody that's missing one of those, they're not going to be able to pull off what you're able to achieve. Research, like knowing where to go to research some of these things to find out what their avatar is. What about hiring? Like, somebody decides, I don't want to do all those things. I'd rather focus on PPC. I'd rather focus on selecting my next product.
Right.
And this is a question also for me, because I'm chasing you to get some content created, which I just left some message, how much for copy or something random, right? Something dumb, like, and you put me in my place on this. So like, what, what does it look like to work with the right buzz? Like, what's the process look like? How much does it cost? What can you share some of that?
Yeah. So again, when it comes to like, if I have a brand new client, I really try to figure out what drove them to sell that particular product. Was it, again, just because they wanted to sell something, or was it because they were super passionate about it? And then we dive into, well, what's your audience? And you actually asked this a little bit ago and I didn't really respond, but you were asking, how do you, if you have no concept of what your avatar is, how do you go about doing the research, or how do you go about looking for it? And one thing I really encourage people to do is look at your competitors and look at their reviews. Look at what works and what doesn't, why they're, you know, if people, again, like, for example, we're going to go back to the guy that sells safety glasses and earphones or whatever. You would have to establish, like, you would go back and look at the competitors and then look at the reviews. And a lot of people explain what they use them for, right? Like, they'll be like, oh, these worked great when I took my son out shooting. These worked really well. I didn't hear anything when I was on the shooting range, et cetera. And then you can kind of establish, oh, okay, I can see who's actually buying these products. So anyway, I realized I just like diverted back to that, but, to explain like what our process is, one of the things I really try to encourage people to do, and again, most of my clients are service providers. But, and this actually goes back into the psychology too. You need to figure out what will stand out and what will stick in people's brains. And I actually did a podcast on Branded by Women about the psychology of humor, right? And about how a lot of companies, they try to be super professional and they all use the same voice, right? And it's important to be professional, but it's also important, again, to resonate with people. And when you look at studies that show what people remember, humor is usually like is the top of the list. It's kind of why people watch the Super Bowl. Even people that, you know, aren't really into football, they'll still watch it for commercials. Can you think of any other time in the world where people would purposely want to watch commercials? No one wants to watch commercials, but they go to it because they are expecting it to be funny, or at least it used to be. I would say the commercials nowadays suck, but, and this is the stuff people will talk about for months. Like you'll be out with your buddies having a beer and they'll be like, oh, did you see that commercial? It was so funny. Like people don't really sit and talk about, oh, did you see that commercial? It was really professional, or did you see that commercial? It was really sad. Like, humor sticks, and I really encourage people to kind of go outside the box and think to yourself, okay, what are people going to remember about my brand? What will stick? What will make them keep talking? And again, you essentially can kind of, how do I explain this? I would say that you don't want to be everything to everyone, because then you'll be nothing. So people are really scared about kind of shrinking their niche because they're afraid, oh, well, then I'm gonna not go after, you know, XYZ, or, oh, these people won't buy it. But in my experience, it's people that really focus on a niche and really establish like what works, what doesn't, what resonates with them, that is going to be far more successful than, again, being too afraid about being unique or being different or being funny. Like so many people are so afraid to do that. It's astounding to me how many people can't just be like, okay, I want to like be relatable. I want people to like remember this. I want people to think that they're hanging out with their buddies. So many people are afraid to do that. And one of the things I really try to establish with clients that there's nothing wrong with going after a certain group of people and being relatable to them. Even if you're afraid that it might offend other people or it might not resonate with other people, you really want to create that brand awareness and one of the things you have to remember is if you're not memorable, then you're not going to be able to be successful, period, end of story. That's what brand loyalty is being memorable. So you have to look at the psychology of what makes people remember you. And I just happen to be a huge fan of comedy. So I always try to encourage people to just have that little quirk or uniqueness about them.
That blew me away, that last part right there. I don't even know if I should say this, but like one brand who has a brand voice that just speaks directly to me. And I'm a, how can I say this without like really putting myself down? Like I'm a very like simple, whatever shirt's there. I have like two color shirts. They're all the same style, same jeans, yeah. One pair of shoes. I'm very like simple.
Right.
And so I'm definitely not the person. I'm more like whatever soaps are laying around, I'll grab that soap. I'll use it. I'm not loyal to anything.
Yeah.
And Dr. Squatch, you familiar with the brand? Yeah. Dr. Squatch, the soap, they use humor.
Yeah.
And they also are like clearly speaking to one person, and that person is me. And it's just like it's like this rugged, whatever, use this soap, but also be healthy. Like it doesn't have to be, that you're using crap chemical products on, even though the soap might be crap chemical products. I don't know the chemicals that are in the soap.
That's funny.
But they speak to me. I buy it. I'm like, it's the only, I would say, hygiene product that I'm on subscribe and save with. Like I love them. I follow their stuff. Yeah. So that would be, if I'm understanding you correct, that would be an example of a brand voice that worked.
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely.
All right. Yeah. Is there anything else regarding brand voice that you feel that I should have asked that I have not asked, that somebody listening to this should definitely know before either reaching out to you or beginning to build their own?
I don't know if I would establish it as brand voice, but another thing I really try to emphasize to clients is that, and this is like my favorite example, like I just always use this example, but say you're selling a couch, a really comfortable couch. So a lot of the time people will say things like, oh, you know, it's super comfortable. It has this thread count, it, you know, like the stitching's great, et cetera. But you're just using adjectives, right? You're just saying the features. You want to sell them again on the quality of life they're going to have. So instead of talking about how comfortable it is, instead of using adjectives, use verbs. Try to have the person be able to see themselves using that couch. So instead of saying all these features, say something like, after a hard day of work, you just sink into this couch and don't want to move for X, Y, Z. You know, like sell the person on this concept of, oh my gosh, I see myself being there. I can actually I can feel exactly how that's going to feel. I now know that this is going to change my life for the better. So I guess the simple explanation I would say is use verbs, because verbs is what people can relate to. People don't relate to adjectives. They relate to how they can use that product. Another example is if you are selling a lipstick, yeah, it's important to talk about how it stays on your lips for a while, it's glossy, it's moisturizing, but instead of using all these adjectives, say something like it's flirt worthy, or walk into a room and have everyone notice. Again, using these verbs that really convey how it's going to affect your life.
Awesome. We've locked in the date for, you're going to present to the advanced group on a similar subject to this on November 17th, Wednesday at 12 noon. I look forward to that presentation. Anybody listening to this, make sure you go to wizardsofecom.com and RSVP to that event. McLean, you've been amazing. I want to be respectful of your time. Before letting you off the hot seat though, I'm bracing myself here for this. What is your favorite book and why?
I won't mess with you on this one. My favorite book is Shantaram. It is about it's based on a true story. It's about a man that went to federal prison in Australia, and he escaped and became a refuge in India. And it's, first of all, it's amazingly written. Everyone that I've had read it are just like, this book is the best book ever. It has adventure, it has love, it has war, it has everything in it. But what's really, really cool about it and what kind of resonates with me as a business owner is they talk about, or he, the guy that's narrating the story, it talks a lot about overcoming challenges and really learning about the culture of India and learning about things that he didn't know before. It's just phenomenal. It's really, I really, really, really highly recommend you read it. So,
and it's called Shantaram.
Shantaram. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to look that up. I definitely order any book that somebody recommends as their favorite book that I've not read. And I've definitely not read that. Your description for some reason made me think of, I guess it's a totally different book, but the Count of Monte Cristo. I don't know why.
Oh, okay.
I guess the Count was imprisoned in one point and I don't know. It made me.
Yeah. Honestly, it really goes into, I mean, it's just so well written. It, actually, it's Isabella's favorite book too. We always bond about it. Yeah. It's phenomenal. But yeah, it really is well written and it really goes into the psychology of humans and the trials and triumphs of being human and the stuff people go through. It's very, very good.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And you're one of my favorite people. I look forward to
your presentation. You have to say that to everyone on here. You know.
I don't say that, but you're one of my favorite people. I look forward to your presentation on the 17th. And thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely. I had a blast. Thank you.
It was fun sharing this episode with you. If you found value in what you've heard, please show your love with a subscribe, rate, and review of the show. Until next time.